This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinnidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Malo ni to all our Tokelauan listeners and to everyone else across the Pacific. Welcome to Nijan Footy. Let's go island hopping and chat about the Pacifica domination of the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me is the Cook Island Leaguey enjoying his first week off ever in Rugby League, Tinarau Arona T. Welcome, brother. How does it feel?
Kia ora, Sammy, and kia ora to you listening, man. It felt good. You know, I just had that time not having to worry about playing any games and, you know, eating certain things for breakfast and hydrating, even though we all must hydrate.
Treating yourself, are you?
No, more just not having to worry, you know, okay. And got to we'll spend the time way. And with my family and friends. It was an awesome weekend. But we're here now on Nijan Footy, and it is finals footy time. You know, we had the four games on the weekend, so four actually amazing games that were played over the weekend in the NRL semi-final, finals, quarter-finals, what are they called?
Finals footy.
And then finally the Rugby World Cup has kicked off, so you'll be covering that.
Yes, and I don't know if you can tell I'm pumped to get to that part.
Oh, but we've been pumped for the last month, mate.
Yeah, I know.
And then we have Marty Hume, the SNC strength and conditioning coach for the Drua. He's the also worked with a lot of clubs, rugby league and rugby union across the world. You'll mention more about the names further down in the show, but we'll be asking him a fair bit about the Pacifica players that he's worked with and athletes that he's worked with.
I don't know if he's going to say it, but I think he's going to say I'm probably his finest athlete.
Finest
in terms of body composition, shredded, fast. Just an all-round talent, I think.
All right, we'll see.
Moment of the week.
Our moment of the week, T. Do you remember a while back when we forgot it was Samoan Language Week?
Yep.
Well, we're not going to forget about the Tongans. It's Tongan Language Week. Well, it was last week.
So I forgot last week.
So, hey, Tongan time, you know, that's part of Tongan. It's late. But I just needed to listen to what everyone else was saying because I'm not fluent in Tongan to make sure I get my words right. And even off the back of that, my moment of the week, it's actually not from me to say the word that I wanted to say. Do you know Adesanya?
Israel Adesanya.
Oh, thank you for the correction. Israel, obviously UFC legend, unlucky on the fight on the weekend, but still 8.3 million followers, got to listen to his Tongan word for Tongan Language Week.
And I was wondering if any of the Tongan guys that you train with or that you roll with have taught you any words or phrases.
Way before that, I already knew all the bad Tongan words, and I will not say them here, but I'll just say ofatu, all my tokos, mwah. Spread love. That's what a real mob do.
Yeah.
So he's actually part Tongan. His grandfather comes from somewhere in Tonga. That's what the Tongans are saying. Anyway, they're claiming him. But ofa lahi atu, you know, big love. And just off the back of that, I'm just going to say ofa lahi atu to my brother-in-law, Richard Tuitu'u, you know, who sadly passed away on the weekend. So big love to our family. Big love to him. And yeah, rest in peace, brother.
Yeah, on behalf of all of us here at Nijan Footy, all love and prayers to your family, Sammy. And we were thinking of you during
this
time.
Appreciate it, bro.
What's up, guys? Rob Liotta here from the Wallabies. Tuning in, listening to Nijan Footy. Let's age.
Let's age.
Here we go.
It is NRL time. And like I said before, there were four amazing games that were played on the weekend. I will talk about the two teams that will be resting this weekend because they were just dominating in their, what's the word? They were dominant.
Is it like the clearest you've ever seen in finals 41 and 2 just sweep the teams like that?
That I can remember here in the NRL, I think. Yeah. So, yeah. Yes, we had on the weekend Broncos versus Storm, and Broncos winning this one quite convincingly 26-0. An unreal performance from the Broncos. Just thought with the ball.
Wait, hang on. No tease top headlines for it.
No, we're for semi-final time. We're all business now,
okay,
man.
Okay, sorry, business there. I just wanted to make sure.
No more time
our listeners
for,
games, man. Our listeners love the top headlines, so I just wanted to make sure you haven't forgotten.
Nah, business time. This is, no time for joking around, yeah? But I thought, going back to the game, I thought the Broncos forward pack really took it to the Storms. Middle third, I spoke about Broncos 1-2 punch. A few weeks ago, Samoan Payne Haas and Patrick Carrigan making the most meters in this game. Payne Haas with 180 meters and Carrigan with 193 meters. But also, Samoan international Keenan Palacia, he came off the bench and also made 153 meters for the Broncos. In attack, Adam Reynolds, he is the general for the Broncos. Setting up the first try for Tongan international Katoni Stags.
Carrigan will play it five out, five to the right of the uprights. Walters passes left for Reynolds. His pass hits the deck. Cleaned up by Walsh, who's tackled by Hughes. A bit messy. Walsh got a very late offload away. Ref lets it go. Second phase, Farnworth goes forward, gets tackled. He's 11 metres out and slightly left of the uprights. We'll play it to Walters. Pass back centre field for Flegler. At the line, second man to Reynolds. Holds it, gives it to the edge for Stags. Steps through Tanamapaya. Bounds away from Munster. Gets into the end goal and scores a brilliant opening finals try.
Does Katoni Stags, does he play on the right side?
Right centre.
So, you know, on that right side, do you feel like, you know, with the Broncos, that they've probably got the best right-hand edge since you've seen? Because normally when I think of attacking play, a lot of the play goes from right to left with your passing. It's usually crisper on that side, but the Broncos seem to score a lot of tries on the right. Any thoughts, or am I reading too much into it?
No, there's a bit there, but remember Adam Reynolds, he's the king at the moment for the Broncos.
Yeah.
He can play both sides and he's really directing that Brisbane Broncos team. He was on fire in this game. He set up two nice tries, kicked 4 from 4 off the kicking tee. And the way that he linked up with Reece Walsh is just magical to watch as a footy fan. But the Broncos will be playing the winner out of Warriors and Knights. But the other team that I thought that were dominant, Panthers, beating the Warriors 32-6. Like we said, I had the first weekend off footy, so I got to go to that game, and the atmosphere was electric. We actually sat behind Sean Johnson at the time, watching with some of the best seats in the house, and yeah, the Panthers were just too dominant in this one. But because there's such a strong Pacifica presence out in Western Sydney, there were a lot of locals going for the Warriors.
I was just about to ask you that. What was the... Was it a dominant blackout in terms of like the Black Panther jerseys or the brown ones around, or was there Warriors jerseys around as well?
As expected, there were a lot of Panther fans, but then there were a fair few Warrior fans as well. I took my brother, Big Deezer, down there. And
he took you, right? He's the one with the hookup.
And he's the Warriors fan.
Oh, is he?
But yeah, right behind Shawnee. And it was funny, my brother taking the video going, Yeah, I'm right behind Sean Johnson posting on the story. But yeah, look, the Panthers, they're like a well-oiled machine. Just the way that they keep punching down the wall and making the Warriors pay for some crucial errors. Nathan Cleary had a blinder. He is, if not the best player in the world right now, like Adam Reynolds. He is the Panthers general. In the middle, there was an epic battle between two beasts in our game. Tongan international Aiden Fanua-Blake versus Samoan Kiwi Moses Leota. So these two, they were calling each other out in the middle of battle. And do you remember that fight between, it was Mark Hunt and the other Samoan?
Ray Seffel. Yep.
Where they both just like stood there and traded
just
punches.
Just traded blows to the
and
head.
They're like... They're like punching, like touching each other in the chin, saying, yeah, come.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Bro, Moses Leota, he stood there and he's like, tapping his chin, going, come, come. And they're just like pointing. But the man, it was cool to watch.
Oh,
but
built different.
That physical contact, they didn't take a step backwards. They were just going at each other all day. It was really, really cool to see. But respect to both players for getting, you know, getting after it. And finally, the chemistry. You spoke about the Broncos' right edge. Well, the Panthers' left edge was on point. Sam Moan, Stephen Crichton at center, and Fijian Sonia Turuva on the left wing, linked up for two tries, two of the five Panther tries.
19 out. Penrith looking irresistible here. Mitch Kenny from dummy half comes back open side left. Pass away to Yeo. Goes further left to Cogger, away to Crichton. Quick hands now to Turuva. Turuva for the touchline. And it's over. Turuva the Groover. Says Manaka Bakalevu and gets his first final try. Sunia Turuva. He'll play the ball for Penrith to Peachy. Goes to the left. Yeo links up with Cleary. Delayed ball. Crichton away to Sunia Turuva. And for the second time today, he gives the Fijian thank you and says, Manaka Bakalevu. Try to Turuva.
They will now take on the winner out of the Storm and the Roosters. It's going to be interesting to see who's going to be taking Crichton's space, spot on that left centre there once he goes to the Bulldogs next year.
I'm sure there's about 4 million Panthers somewhere out there in the factory line that they've got. Before we wrap up the league stuff, I just want to get your opinion here. Massive opinion I need from you. Obviously, we always hear up the Waz, you know, for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Panthers, Jerome Luai, up the Pars. What do you... Play
what
on.
What do I think? What do you think?
I play on. Love it. Absolutely love it. I think that's our rivalry. It's harmless. It's great. And I would love to see, say if all things are equal and they're both teams, Broncos and Penrith, go through, Jerome Luai, maybe if he's fit or not, I'd love to see him and Reece Walsh go at it. Like the banter or
it's like round two from Origin.
It is. So hopefully we get to see something like that. And one's going up the Pars, one's going up the Waz, and we'll see which one gets on top.
I love your feedback. But in the other two games, the Roosters get the job done again in a tight match against the Cronulla Sharks. The Roosters won 13-12. Just that fighting spirit. They lost during this game. They lost Joey Manu, Joseph Suoliti. They were also missing Daniel Dubol and Jared Wade Hargraves. James Tedesco goes off for 10 minutes in the bin, and they still manage to fight through that 80 minutes of footy and win the game by 1 point.
That's 0-3 for the Sharkies in finals footy since Craig Fitzgibbon.
But I thought another friend of ours, Siwa Wong, he was unreal for the Roosters in this game. Scored a try and also just had some really big moments defensively as well. And in the other game, the Knights in another close game to the Raiders. This one was like a arm wrestle. The Raiders were just, pushing forward, winning that arm wrestle against the Knights. And then in the second half, so they go into halftime quite comfortably in the lead, the Raiders did. But the Knights, they came back and just went bang, 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 scored a few tries. They went to extra time, which I didn't even know. I should know this stuff. I thought it was golden point.
No golden point.
Golden point. My son actually reminded me last night.
Your 13-year-old son.
And then once it was a golden point, he goes, I told you, Dad, I told you. I'm like, quite embarrassed. But then the Knights got a penalty in front. Kalen Ponga kicks the winning goal, and then they go on to the next round to play the Warriors next week. That's it for NRL footy. But we're finally about to talk some rugby. Let's kick it off. Sammy, what you got for me?
Yes, it feels like last week I was so pumped that it was about to start, the week of. Now it has started. But before we get into the Rugby World Cup, there's been some massive news in rugby union. Huge news. Do you remember our good friend Johnny Ulungia?
Yep.
The Samoan Frenchie that sold the French dream to us. We should have stayed over there and had some baguettes and a couple of red wines, drink coffee. He's just been announced as the Brumbies' assistant coach. So Steve Larkin will be the head coach. Johnny Ulungia will be one of the assistants with other former Wallaby, Ben Mullins. So congratulations to Big Johnny. Well done. And it takes him now and Pauliasi Taumoipiau as a Samoan and Tongan coach, as Paulie's coaching for assistant coach at the Waratahs. So it's great to see our Pacifica presence being felt in the coaching staff now, which is awesome. But it's World Cup time. Here we go. We'll go off this morning's results. Wales versus Fiji. Close one, 32-26.
Damn, this one hurts, eh?
It hurts. Oh, man, it was a tight battle. Fiji got the lead early on in the game as well, but it was just one of those games where Fiji, geez, they looked good. They did actually look good with ball in hand. Honestly, I think the Caleb Munce, their 5'8", was ruled out last week with an ACL injury at training. He's been their starting 5'8 for Fiji, and his goal kicking has been unbelievable. If you're going to win a World Cup, and it's been evident throughout this week, you need an 85-plus percentage goal kicker. You need to be able to keep your discipline. You need to be able to keep 15 men on the field as for pretty much the whole game. You can't have any yellows or reds the way the referees have been officiating. And defensively, you just need to be really strong in all areas, more defense, phase defense, turnover defense, all of that. You've got to, pretty much got to do all four of those things to get the result. You can't have either one of them. Fiji, really good discipline. They only gave away 9 penalties in that game. So they got that bit right. But they missed 3 penalty goals and they also missed a conversion. So when you put that out there, there's points out there for them to win. That's Semi Radradra
11
drops.
Points.
Exactly. Is it? 2, 4, 6. No, I'm going to you do the math, everyone. But I know Semi Radradra would be disappointed in himself, and he dropped the ball with a line wide open as well to put them in front, probably to win the game. But he drops it. That's uncharacteristic from him. But that's the pressure of the World Cup on there. So I think it's a good thing for Fiji. You know, to be honest, this isn't going to do anything to derail their campaign at all. They've got the Wallabies coming up. We saw what the Fijians did when they lost to France in the build-up. They came out and they beat England. So I think it's probably like a same type of setup for them. I think they've got all the nuts and bolts for the game.
If they lose another one, do they get knocked, like they can't make the finals?
Yeah, that'll be them done.
So who have they got left? Australia and...
Yeah, they've got Australia, Georgia and Portugal.
So big game this week coming up against Australia. Who scored for the Flying Fijians?
Their captain, Waisea Nadelevu, Lekima Tangitangivalu, Josua Tuisova, and Mesake Dodge. How did I go with those names?
See, that's why you are half Fijian, mate.
I tried my best there, but they were the try scorers. So as we can see, Fiji have definitely got try scoring, have that try scoring ability in them. They just need to complement that with their goal kicking and everything else. The other game we'll cover, the Wallabies. They got over Georgia. It was pretty easy, but at the same time, I feel like there's still a long way off the top teams. If we look at France and New Zealand in that game, we look at South Africa, they were clinical. I think for the Wallabies, they're still not clinical enough.
Guess we'll see this weekend when Wallabies are playing Fiji.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's going to give them confidence as they won that game. It's the first game they've won under Eddie Jones. Eddie Jones hasn't the Wallabies haven't lost an opening World Cup game before, and they continue that trend now. But the thing that I would look at with the Wallabies in terms of what's probably hurt them in past tests at the moment is that the compounding of errors or compounding of things that don't go their way. So if we look at the Wallabies, they got off to a fast start. They scored a really good try with Samoan Jordan Pataia. He scores in the first 3 minutes of the game. They missed the conversion. They failed to exit off the kickoff return as Georgia come to kick back off after the try. Carter Gordon gets his kick charge down, and then they give a penalty straight away, and then Georgia scores. So then it ends up being 5-3.
What's the exit?
Exit, so exiting out of their danger zone or their red zone.
Also, just a long kick.
Just a long kick, just to get out of there. Yep, out of their territory. So you don't, like, there's a high stat to say that if you don't exit cleanly, that the opposition will score the next points. But yeah, our stars, I think, for Australia, definitely Mark Nawanganitawase, the Fijian winger. He is absolutely killing it, growing in confidence. The way he looks for work off his wing, getting in amongst it, his footwork, his flair. he's outstanding. He's going to be a key figure for this team. And I thought I thought the Fijian connection with Korombete and Samu Kurevi as well in the centres, they did really well. I think they'll be looking for those too, and it's going to be firing when it comes to that Fijian game when their fellow countrymen go up against each other. But also in other results this morning, Japan beat Chile 42-12. And our Indonesian star in that one was a Tongan, big Tongan, Amato Fakatava, the big second rower. He scored two tries. He got man of the match.
Also for Chile?
For Japan. It could be. There's a lot of Pacific presence across all the other teams, that's for sure, on that. But also Fiji and Jone Nakambula, he also scored. And then what we got to look forward to, Samoa v Chile on Saturday night, Ireland versus Tonga on Sunday, and of course the following week, the Wallabies versus Fiji on Monday morning.
It's Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
It is time to join our favourite NRLW player. She plays for the North Queensland Cowboys and also a PNG Orchids superstar. We're here with Shelley Long on The Long Story Short.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
Shelley, your Cowboys had a big loss to the Raiders. How's the morale in camp this week?
Sorry to keep bringing this up.
Look, an unfortunate win. I thought we came out really well on the weekend, but by the 15-minute mark, I think the Raiders really gave it to us and they deserved the win on the weekend.
Yeah, they're a solid team. And did you go in the game with a bad shoulder? How did you manage that?
Yeah, so went into the game with a bad shoulder. The doctors, they just do their magic before the game and then they strap it up pretty well, pretty tight for me so that I can manage to get through. And then after, it's just, you know, sucking to my partner a little bit, trying to get my massage, and it feels good, but hopefully by the next round.
Did you have to take any painkillers or a needle to manage the pain?
Yeah, I get it injected, so get the needle before the game just to help ease the pain a little bit so I can't feel it as much. But, yeah, that's the things you do for the sport you love.
That's the one.
Absolutely. Look, I had about 400 questions here on where it's all gone wrong this year for the Cowboys, but I'll leave that, okay? I'll just throw it out. And we'll just move on.
Save it for after the season.
Yeah, well, we can do the review later. You don't need the season's coming to an end, so we'll just park that and we'll just go straight to the eighth round of the NRLW, and just see what caught your eye besides your game.
Yeah, so I thought the Broncos had a great game again on the weekend, another great comeback against the Tigers, 22 points to 18. The Knights proved too powerful for the Roosters, beating them 20 points to 4. I thought it was going to be an interesting game leading up to it. It was obviously top of the table clash, that one. But again, the Knights were too good on the weekend for the Roosters. The Titans continue their win streak after beating the Eels at home 34 points to 12. And the first ever local derby took place at Shark Park with the Sharks taking on the Dragons, and the Sharks walked away with the win 16 points to 8.
16 to 8. Up the Sharkies. Who stood out for you in that Sharks game?
I thought Tiana Penetani was incredible. She managed to shut down Tegan Berry, who has been absolutely amazing this season. She's been running for over 200 metres per game, generally speaking, and Tiana stopped her from making any metres in that game.
So is she our Nijan star performer this week, in your highly rated opinion?
She definitely is, and definitely one to keep on watching. I'll be interested to see where she goes and plays this in the Pacific Championships as well.
Are you hearing word on the street? Is there something that we don't know? Is the red jersey calling her?
Well, I'll be interested to see if she goes there. But I have heard some whispers that some players will return back to support those types of teams. So she might be one to go back.
What about your teammate and our Nijan footy friend, China Pilata? Is she joining the Tongan team?
I definitely think she'll go to the Tongan team. She's been incredible for us, but I think as well, when I talk to her about culture, she definitely wants to represent Tonga, and that's a really proud and special moment for her. So I think she'll definitely
put the red jersey on again.
That's awesome. And coming up this week in the next round of the NRLW, we have the big game with the Raiders and the Titans. Does this game matter for the top four?
100%. This game is super important. The Raiders must win this game. They're the only inaugural team who could possibly make the finals, but they have to beat the Titans by at least 12 points. So the pressure's on for them. Obviously, the Titans are wanting to stay in the top four too, so the pressure's on them as well. At the moment, the Titans are above the Broncos, but say the Titans lose, the Broncos, Titans and Raiders will be all on the same points for win and losses. It will be about the for and against.
Ooh, spicy for this end of the season for the NRLW. Outstanding. Rugby union, there was one game this week, Fiji versus Japan. Can you give us a bit of an update on what happened there?
Yeah, so Fiji travelled over to Japan to play in preparation for the 15s championship. Japan won 29 points to 24. It looked like an incredible game. Obviously, Fiji will take away a lot of lessons from that game in preparation for the 15s championship. So be interesting to see how they go when that rolls around. And in some other news, the Wallaroos also have come together for a camp at the newly built Ballymore Stadium in Brisbane. So they're only a couple of weeks out before they take on the Black Ferns in Waikato on the 30th of September.
Awesome. Now it is time for the big question. Boys don't know, and I've asked probably the last five of them. So, Sammy, you're up.
That's a lie. Okay, it is my turn. We're going to talk about feet here, just purely just the context of feet.
There's we're talking about feet?
Feet, yeah. Look, I don't have any other foot things going on, but it's a simple question. Which is the pedicure? Is that the feet?
You know,
that's
secrets.
The feet.
Like,
that feet.
Asking about feet.
Okay, yeah, so pedicures, feet, and manicure, how do you say, hands one? Anyway, it's irrelevant. We're just going to talk about feet here. Your pedicure. Oh, is it worth the money doing your pedicure when you're wearing, you know, your leather boots? And because I'm looking at my feet now and they are horrendous from the boots that I've worn over the years. It's just, yeah, no good.
Bunions. So
bunions, and it's just the nails.
Oh, not the bunions.
You've got to cut your toenails too, Sam.
Oh, mate, you need an angle grinder.
What's that black stuff in your nails?
Oi, settle. T-Wall nappies to about four or something. That's what we found out. But anyway, back to my boys don't know question. Really curious about feet. Do you still get pedicures?
No, I don't get pedicures unless I'm dressing up, you know, with the heels on, then I'm not going to get them. It's actually a very interesting question because when people get pedicures, they generally will get their feet soaked in water, massage, you know, soothed, the whole shebang, shebazzle, that happens. And it actually softens the feet too much. So when you're running around for, you know, like we spoke the other day about the kilometres we'll run, it blisters our feet because they're too soft for our socks and for our boots. And the friction on them actually makes us break out with really bad blisters.
Wow.
That explains all those blisters on Sammy's feet.
I don't know what's going on with my feet then because I didn't do any of that and they're still bloody got damaged. So, interesting.
What's
so,
the treatment to all the blisters?
Are you sure you're not doing it? Are you sure you're not sticking to the nail salon?
Mate, I'd want my money back if they came out looking like this, that's for sure.
So with the blisters going into the next week of training, do you just manage the pain or is there a treatment to it? What's the go there?
So generally we'll put second skin on. You put second skin on whenever you have your shoes on and pretty much it's like a layer of jelly that protects the blisters and helps, like it's almost like a cushion, and you'll strap those underneath the blisters. Gives you a little bit of protection, but pretty much if you're not in boots or not in closed in shoes, then they're up in the air and trying to be dried out.
Yeah. Do you know, in the islands, because obviously they don't have second skin, it's, real expensive too, the second skin. Do you know what they use?
Aloe vera.
No? They use banana skin.
Banana leaves?
Banana skin. Nah, I just made that up. I got no idea. It just came to me. I thought I should say it. But
that was actually quite interesting. Thanks for that question.
I had you there. Everyone believed me, didn't they? There we go.
Almost. Okay. Now I'm going to have to second guess everything you tell me now.
You should always second guess everything I say, no matter what. But... Oh, that's interesting. I'm actually glad you enlightened me. As I said, I'm just talking purely feet and for no other reason, just out of curiosity. That's it.
The more you talk, the more I think you got a foot fetish.
Can we say that on radio? Yeah, we can. Well, what's wrong with a foot fetish? You know, what is wrong with it? Is there something?
There's nothing wrong with it, mate. If that's what you're into, that's what you're into.
Yeah. So, okay, anyway... Whatever floats your boat, and we'll end it on that note in terms of the footy, the feet,
the footy feet fetish thing.
But anyway, and we'll move to this week's game. We'll bring it back into the serious stuff. Roosters this week, obviously they're red hot, coming off a loss. How do you think you're going to go?
Yeah, I think that they'll make a lot of improvements after that Knights game. I think Knights definitely did their homework before they went into that match. And I think if we can do our homework and we can manage to get past that 15 minutes and just continue to grind, then we'll be able to stay in the game. But it has to be, it's more of a heart thing. So if we want it, then we'll work hard for it. And if we don't want it, then it will show in the game. So, you know, final round, we're going to give it our all and we hope that we can stay in it long enough.
And that game is played down in Sydney?
Yep, it's played down in Sydney. So another short turnaround for us this weekend. We played on Sunday, so we'll have to go again on Saturday, which means travelling on the Friday to prepare. So it'll be interesting for us as well.
As we say every week, we really value your opinion, everything you do. Chip and chase on the first this week if you have to. But other than that, good luck.
Actually, hold up. Whoa. Are you even going to be here next Monday? Because it'll be your Mad Monday, wouldn't it?
Or I will be here on Monday because we are planning to go away for Prime Minister 13th.
Ultimate so professional. That's what separates.
So you're
the
doing
good.
A silly Sunday instead.
That's all right. She'll be here, ready to go.
Instead. I'll be here. Don't worry, boys. I've got you.
Okay. We appreciate that.
All
take
the
care.
Best.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Challenge of the week.
Sammy, I noticed you didn't come walking in with your cooler bag today. Last week I challenged you to bring a otai and quite disappointed. What happened?
You might not believe me, but this is what happened. I was walking around the supermarkets. There's a test that you do for the watermelons, you know? Do you know the test?
Oh, I've done it before. You do the old
do the tap.
Give it a nice
slap. Little slap there.
full palm.
You got to listen to that hollowness in the thing. And if it has that sound of like, ooh, that's the one.
What sound are you looking for?
Doop.
Doop, doop, doop. And then what is that sound telling you?
It tells me when it sounds like that, it's sweet.
Oh,
ready
okay.
to go.
Yep.
And... Hey, you tasted my mother-in-law's otta, like outstanding. Like we're not doing things, you know, half-cooked here.
Yeah.
And same with your minus, not doing things half-cooked. So the long-winded answer is that I didn't hear the sound. It's not quite ready yet to be able to say that this is going to be sweet enough. So I thought I'd put it on hold until next week.
Fair enough.
Thoughts?
No, I just think you're...
Like, are you buying
it? One of our values is, you know, being honest here in this room. And I just trying to get an understanding on how honest are you being.
You saw me cheating Nisha Knowledge, didn't you, that time?
Well, I'm looking down here at Nisha Knowledge scores and it's 7 to you, 6.5 to me. I'm thinking I might have to take a 0.5 or 1 off you. But
yeah, no, okay, you can do that. And then if it tastes good,
I'll just give you your point back.
Oh,
I'll
okay.
Malo Lele, Bokohingoa, Tana Plata, and you're listening to Nisian Footy on ABC Australia.
T, our guest this week, bit of a different angle. Usually in a team environment, you sort of love them, you hate them. Sometimes you want to talk to them, sometimes you don't. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, mate. There's the old saying, happy wife, happy life. In the footy team, it's I always thought if you keep the S&C coach happy, you usually have a easier preseason. So that was my relationship with the S&C coach.
Yeah, that's what we thought, but there was never such thing as an easy preseason. But you're right, strength and conditioning coach. We are lucky to have the current Fijian Drua head of performance, Marty Hume. He's been at some of the best teams in the world. He's done the British and Irish Lions, Japan national team. He had me as a 14, 15-year-old cracking the whip then with a few of the boys. So without further ado, Marty, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, T.
Can you explain to, I guess, for our listeners who don't know, what does S&C stand for and your role?
Well, in terms of the old, I mean, there's so many variations now of strength and conditioning. I suppose an S&C coach is the person that guides the fitness and the nutrition and everything about the rugby player's well-being. And I think we've sort of got a different perspective now because there's so many different types of coaches out there, you know, very specific. You've got the nutritionist that comes in, you've got the speed coach. And long gone are the days where when I first started, I did everything, including the I think I was end up putting the kid out at one stage with Warriors and filled up water bottles. And now you have all these specific things. But I think strength conditioning really is the essence of it's trying to get the engine room ready and getting the Ferraris going.
Yeah, nice. Marty, I've worked with a fair few S&C coaches in my career, and I found that each one had their own kind of style. I had the ones where they were all about the GPS and the numbers and the graphs and making sure you hit a certain target. But then I also had the old school ones that, you know, they went on more how you felt that day, that morning, and then usually would get flogged. what was your style that you or your philosophy and style, and did it ever change during your career so far?
Yeah, look, I suppose from my point of view, I mean, I started back in 1990. And we're 30-odd years now down the road, so there's been a dramatic change with S&C and with coaches and philosophies and areas that vary so much. But, you know, in my day when I first started with the North Sydney Bears, you know, we didn't have GPS systems. We had nothing. The only thing that I started off with was actually heart rate monitors. But everything was about the feel factor and how we perceived what players have felt like through the week, you know, coming into games. And I think now you've got so many different sports science things coming into play now that you know, players are so well monitored these days through their wellness, you know, the GPSs. I mean, we use an athlete monitoring system called Train My Athlete, and everything goes on there. All our data is created on there. We can monitor the wellness of players. We look at nutrition. We can look at their skin folds, the injuries that they have and go through games. So many things over the years has changed. And obviously the pace of the game has changed over my 30 years, you know, back in the day. But look, I suppose from my point of view, I'm a bit of a mixture of new and old. I still like the old fashioned hard training sessions, but I also mix that with a bit of the new sports science and look at that. And I think one of the most important things that I could say about training and training athletes and particularly rugby players and Pacifica boys, you know, is develop this resilience that they have to have. And I think from my point of view, it's something that I feel very important as a coach.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, you're working with the Fijian Drua team, and you would have worked with a fair few other Pacifica athletes during your career over the years as well. I want to spend a bit of time on that, just speaking about our Pacifica athletes. And we'll start with your relationship with the Pacifica players. You know, did you have to learn to understand how the culture, the Pacifica culture, how the players, you know, react to you, how you speak to them? Could you tell us a bit about that relationship that you do have with your Pacifica athletes?
Yeah, look, my journey with Pacifica athletes and island athletes started when I went to the Auckland Warriors. The Pacific Islanders were an amazing, for me, going in from from North Sydney to a complete islander sort of setup, and seeing just how athletic they were really opened my eyes up. And you know, I started looking at these athletes, and I remember going in there and watching them train and lifting weights. They had absolutely no technique in lifting weights, but they were lifting sort of 110, 120 power cleans without each. It blew me away to say, like, how incredible these athletes were, and just how much, you know, in terms of development that they could put into the game of rugby, you know, and it was just amazing. And I suppose even, Sam, when we had a look at, if we looked at the Australian 19s, you know, we had a lot of Pacifica in there. We, you know, Christian Lelefano was a young kid there. Yourself, Sam, you know, Potassi, Luafatu.
Yeah, yep.
We had an amazing group of Pacifica Islanders there. And I think, to me, it opened my eyes up on how to train these young men at such an early age. And just the athleticism of the players blew me away. And I think the exceptional physicality also of these players was amazing when you saw them play. But not only that, but the strong team spirit that they embraced immensely within the team. You know, I found it incredible, and it opened my eyes up into another world of what, you know, common trends of Islanders was all about, and how they contributed so much into the power game of this of rugby. And it really, even to this day now, we, you know, watching the game today, the Fijians and Wales, you know, unfortunately that they lost, but just the incredible power and the athleticism of the athletes themselves.
You mentioned training the young athletes, Pacifica athletes, at a young age. What is it specifically that you had to tweak or add in, take away from that player, so they can come like complete and achieve at the highest level?
Yeah, Sam, I think the biggest thing, when I first started with the Drua's a very young side. It was almost going into a high-performance environment for these young men. And we were a situation where, unfortunately, with COVID, we were at Lennox Head, but the boys were captive. They were living in there, and we started from scratch. So the basic philosophy for me is we had to identify, classify each of the players. And there were a lot of learnings that I felt that needed to happen in terms of the players. You know, and little things like discipline, getting into a routine, learning structure, having good mindset about training, concentration under fatigue. These players had not been able to experience a lot of that. And because we developed such a, I suppose, a strong high-performance environment, we trained them to be high-performance athletes. And I think that's something that we needed to do, because we were going into this super rugby competition, which was, you know, incredible, fast pace, and these players had never experienced that back-to-back playing. So we needed to put them under a lot of fatigue, let them concentrate, how they concentrate under fatigue. So we, you know, we did a lot of games, set a lot of games that way, and trained them that way. And the fitness levels were actually not great with the Pacific Island boys. And I think because of the fast twitch that they have, their incredible ability to be able to, you know, accelerate and be strong through tackles, we needed to go back to basics and build them and build the engine. And then from the engine, we were able to get that natural speed, that natural agility that they have, their incredible footwork, and put that together. And that was really stage one for us. The other stage that was really important was the nutrition. We took off 167 kilos in 4 months off the team that we had. So the body fat levels of the boys was immense. We had to teach them how to eat properly in a high performance environment. They had to learn that, you know, that eating the right foods was important for their game and how they trained, and right to the extent of hydration levels. I remember we were measuring their hydration tests, these G tests, and out of our, you know, 30 players, I think we had about 26 that were dehydrated before we trained. They didn't understand the importance of the water and drinking and the volume that they needed to drink, because we were really hitting them hard up in their training in the pre-season. But the nutrition, the hydration, all these areas had to be addressed, and we needed to make sure that they understood what they were doing. So it really went back to basics in that period of time. And the learning for these young guys was all about that. It was routine, it was discipline. Everything that they needed to do off the field was important, how they did something on the field.
Yeah, well, it's it sounds like you were trying to match the professional athlete lifestyle with their home lifestyle and bring it together and trying to create good habits. Right now we're it's the off season, or most teams are in the off season, and one thing I found coming back to pre-season after having X amount of weeks off is that word body fat added to my body. And yes, would be measured with skin folds. One, is that how you measure body fat when athletes come back? But two, also with the off season, do you have a plan, or have you put in a plan in place for your athletes that have gone away for this period?
Yeah, look, we have a very structured plan in terms, you know, obviously we've got 18 players on tour at the moment with the Flying Fijians. We've got players playing Skipper Club in Fiji there. We've got, the NPC players playing here in Australia as well. And each of them are monitored carefully. Obviously, we can't monitor them individually, but what we do is we send them away knowing that when they come back, they've got to come back at a certain weight. You know, it might be a plus or minus 1 kilo each side of the table there. And again, that comes back to educating these boys about when they go away, that they've got to come back in good condition. And I think having played now Super Rugby, not only that, but having our 18 players now playing at the World Cup and going up another level from Super Rugby, which is what it is, that experience is gold for them, and they'll come back better players.
What about yourself? How have the Fijian Druid embraced, I guess, an Australian coming into their environment, and how have you embraced the Fijian culture?
Yeah, look, Sam, I've learned so much in my time. I'm going in my third year with them, but I've learned something really important in terms of culture. Someone asked me the other week and said, what's it like working with Fijian players? How would you describe them? And I said, I describe them by what I call them is the three Fs. They're very family orientated. Their faith's really important, but they love having fun. For me, that describes that player completely how and what it was like in Fiji. And for me coming in, I'm an old dog, I suppose. They call Nathar, who's the head of athletic performance, they call him Master. They've nicknamed me the Grandmaster now, because I suppose I'm, getting on now. I've had the 30-odd years of experience. But look, they've embraced me really well. I love working with them, communicating, having a laugh with them. I had to get used to that myself as a coach. It's not all about routine and discipline. There is a time there to have fun and switch on and switch off.
I love that, mate. There's you're missing one F though. It's their family, faith, fun, and food.
Lastly from me, I'm looking for two names here. One, the player that where you felt like it's just been a freakish talent that you've got to work with in the Pacifica community, and a player who you would have loved to get your hands on and just seen that natural raw ability and you would have loved to have worked with.
Okay. I think Frank Lomani is an amazing player. Like his journey and his athleticism, his build, his body fat levels, he's a freak in nature. I had a lucky, I worked with Jason Robinson at Wigan and I thought Jason was a freak, but Frank is an amazing athlete. To work with, I suppose, Wasali Serevi, who to me was an amazing athlete. Rapini, I remember playing them in 2003 World Cup. I was with Scotland and they were amazing athletes. I would have loved to have had them.
Yeah. We're a penny there. Oh, I think a lot of people.
Was incredible. Absolutely incredible. And scored, I think he scored two tries in the first 15 minutes of that game. And, you know, I remember that 2003 playing Fiji. And I was looked over at Geach and I said, we're in trouble here. And he said, you're not wrong there. And I think we won that game in the last 2 minutes. But those athletes then, I would have loved to have had them.
That's unreal, Marty. Man, honestly, we really appreciate your time. We wish you all the best in the upcoming Super Rugby season. Hopefully the draw can go that one step further and go a bit deeper in the finals. But a lot of love from all of us here on Nijan Footy. So thanks for your time.
Cheers, Marty.
Thanks, guys.
Nijan Knowledge,
our favourite part of the show.
Here we go. Score update.
Yeah, what is the score update?
Well, it was 7 to you, 6.5 to me, but
we minus
from 1. But you might get that back.
I was about to admit I forgot, but I didn't forget.
6.5 for me, 6 for you, but possibly 7.
Yeah.
And the loser sings the anthem at the end of the year. On our last show on Nijan Footy for the season.
Cook Islands have an anthem?
Yeah.
Or do you guys just use the Kiwi one?
No. We've got our own
anthem. I'm joking. Is that play on? Nah, it's a subtle dig. Sorry.
We just use their money.
Oh. Yeah, fair enough.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, play on. Play on.
Up the pass. No. All right,
Nijan here we go. Footy. Nijan Knowledge. We are on. Okay, T, I hope you were listening. Hopefully your Fijian is great. Name one Fijian who scored a try overnight against Wales. And I did mention them. You were impressed with my pronunciation.
Yes, I was. And the only name that is coming up, but I don't even know if he played for them, Tuivasa?
Oh, Tuivasa.
Nah, I wasn't listening. There was four. You said them too fast.
Okay, so if you had said Waisea na they level. Lekima, Tangi Tangi Valu, Josua, Tuisova, or Mesake Dodge, you would have been correct. Just one of those, bro. Yeah. Not hard, just needed one out of the four.
No, you can have that point.
Yeah, beautiful. Just to give you a heads up, this all-around World Cup, I hope you realise.
Mate,
it's a World Cup theme.
I'm not waking up at 2 in the morning to watch rugby union. I would rather
watch the paint dry.
Grass grow.
Oh, my goodness. Leagues.
That is the last thing I am doing. I'm watching one game or one team and one team only. Samoa.
Okay.
Manu Samoa.
Speaking of Manu Samoa, that's my next question. Manu Samoa has competed in 9 World Cups. How many times have they made it out of their pool stage?
Ooh, it's a low number. I want to say 0.
Wow. They got out of their pool stages twice. My friend. 91, 95.
I was still in my nappies then.
Yeah, fair enough. You're in nappies a lot longer than that. But anyway, next question. The last one. Tonga's biggest win in an international rugby game is against South Korea in 2003. How many points did they score against them? I'm going to give you a leeway of about 8 points either side.
86.
Nah, that's incorrect.
What?
113-0.
You wait next week before my league questions.
Oh, I'm really good at finals footies question.
No, Rugby League World Cup questions.
Yeah, all over it. It's easy. What, Australia, how many times they won it? Every single time. So
sorry to all our listeners, but them questions were awful.
That's our time up for another week of Nijan Footy. We'll see you next Monday on ABC Radio Australia or listen anytime wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.